Welcome to Astounding Stories of Space and Time. I'm Mordell, reading The Skylark of Space by E.E. Smith. Chapter 7.
Say, Blackie, Scott called from the door of Duquesne's laboratory. Did you get the news flash that just came over on KSKM-TV? It was right down your alley.
No, what about it?
Somebody piled up a million tons of tetryl, TNT, picric acid, nitroglycerin, and so forth up in the hills and touched it off. Bluey. Whole town of Bankerville, West Virginia, population 200. Gone. No survivors. No debris, even, the man said. Just a hole in the ground a couple of miles in diameter, and God only knows how deep.
Baloney, Duquesne snapped. What would anybody be doing with an atomic bomb up there?
That's the funny part of it. It wasn't an atomic bomb. No radioactivity anywhere, not even a trace. Just gillions and willions of tons of high explosive, and nobody can figure it.
All scientists baffled, the Flash said.
How about you, Blackie? You baffled, too?
I would be if I believed any part of it. Duquesne turned back to his work.
Well, don't blame me for it. I'm just telling you what Fritz Habelman just said.
Since Duquesne showed no interest at all in his news, Scott wandered away.
The fool did it. That will cure him of sucking eggs, I hope, he muttered and picked up his telephone.
Operator, Duquesne speaking. I'm expecting a call here this afternoon. Please have the party call me at my home, Lincoln 64620. Thank you.
He left the building and got his car out of the parking lot. In less than half an hour, he reached his house on Park Road overlooking beautiful Rock Creek Park, in which he lived alone, save for an elderly couple who were his servants. In the busiest part of the afternoon, Chambers rushed unannounced into Brookings' private office, his face white, a newspaper in his hand.
Read that, Mr. Brookings, he gasped.
Brookings read, his face turning gray.
Ours, of course.
Ours, Chambers agreed dully.
The fool! Didn't you tell him to work with very small quantities?
I did. He said not to worry. He was taking no chances. He wouldn't have more than 1 gram of copper on hand at once in the whole laboratory.
Well, I'll be jiggered.
Turning slowly to the telephone, Brookings called a number and asked for Dr. Duquesne, then he called another.
Brookings, I would like to see you as soon as possible. I'll be there in about an hour. Goodbye.
Brookings arrived and was shown into Duquesne's study. The two shook hands perfunctorily and sat down. The scientist waited for the other to speak.
You were right, Doctor, Brookings said. Our man couldn't handle it. I have contracts here.
At 20 and 10, Duquesne's lips smiled a cold, hard smile.
20 and 10, the company expects to pay for its mistakes. Here they are.
Duquesne glanced over the documents and thrust them into a pocket.
I'll go over them with my attorney tonight and mail one copy back to you if he says to. In the meantime, we may as well get started.
What do you suggest?
First, the solution. You stole it, I...
Don't use such language, Doctor.
Why not? I'm all for direct action, first, last, and all the time. This thing is too important to mince words. Have you got it with you?
Yes, here it is.
Oh, where's the rest of it?
All that we found is here, except for half a teaspoonful our expert had in his laboratory. We didn't get it all, only half of it. The rest was diluted with water, so it wouldn't be missed.
We can get the rest of it later.
That will cause a disturbance, but it may become...
Half of it? You haven't a 20th of it here,
Seton had about 400 milliliters, almost a pint of it.
I wonder, who's holding out on or double-crossing?
No, not you, he went on as Brookings protested innocence. That wouldn't make much sense. Your thief turned in only this much. Could he be holding out on us?
No, that doesn't make sense either.
No, you know Perkins. His crook missed the main bottle then. That's where your methods give me an acute bellyache. When I want anything done, I do it myself, but it isn't too late yet. I'll take a couple of your goons tonight and go out there.
And do exactly what?
Shoot Seton, open the safe, take their solution, plans, and notes. Loose cash, too, of course. I'll give that to the goons.
No, no, doctor, that's too crude altogether. I could permit that only as the last possible resort.
I say do it first. I'm afraid of pussyfooting and gumshoeing around Seton and Crane. Seton has developed a lot of late, and Crane never was anybody's fool. They're a hard combination to beat, and we've done plenty worse and got away with it.
Why not work it out from the solution we have and then get the rest of it? Then, if Seton had an accident, we could prove that we discovered the stuff long ago.
Because development work on that stuff is risky, as you found out. Also, it'd take too much time. Why should we go to all that trouble and expense when they've got the worst of it done? The police may stir around for a few days, but they won't know anything or find out anything. Nobody will suspect anything except Crane, if he's still alive, and he won't be able to do anything.
So the argument raged. Brookings agreed with Duquesne in aim, but would not sanction his means, holding out for quieter, more devious, less actionable methods. Finally, he ended the discussion with a flat refusal and called Perkins. He told him of the larger bottle of solution, instructing him to secure it and to bring back all plans, notes, and other material pertaining to the matter in hand. Then, after giving Duquesne an instrument like the one he himself carried, Brookings took his leave.
Late in the afternoon of the same day of the explosion, Seton came up to Crane with a mass of notes in his hand.
I've got some of it, Mart. The power is what we figured. Anything you want, short of infinity. I've got the three answers you wanted most. First, the transformation is complete. No loss, no residue, no radiation or other waste. Thus, no danger and no shielding or other protection is necessary. Second, X acts only as a catalyst and is not itself consumed. Hence, an infinitesimally thin coating is all that's necessary. Third, the power is exerted as a pull along the axis of the X figure, whatever that figure is, focused at infinity. I also investigated those two borderline conditions, and in one it generates an attractive force focused on the nearest object in line with its axis of X. In the second, it's an all-out repulsion.
Splendid, Dick.
Crane thought for a minute or two. Data enough, I think, to go ahead on. I particularly like that first borderline case. You could call it an object compass. Focus one on the Earth, and we could always find our way back here, no matter how far away we get.
Say, that's right. I never thought of anything like that, but what I came over here for was to tell you that I've got a model built that will handle me like a small change. It's got more oof than a ramjet, small as it is. 10 G's at least. You want to see it in action?
I certainly do. As they were walking out toward the field, Shiro called to them, and they turned back toward the house, learning that Dorothy and her father had just arrived.
Hello, boys.
Dorothy smiled radiantly, her dimples very much in evidence.
Dad and I came out to see how and what you're doing.
You came at exactly the right time, Crane said. Dick has built a model and was just going to demonstrate it. Come and watch. On the field, Seaton buckled on a heavy harness, which carried numerous handles, switches, boxes, and other pieces of apparatus. He snapped the switch of the Wetzitron. He then moved a slider on a flashlight-like tube, which was attached to the harness by an adjustable steel cable, and which he was gripping with both hands. There was a creak of straining leather, and he shot into the air for a couple of hundred feet, where he stopped and remained motionless for several seconds. Then he darted off, going forward and backward, up and down, describing zigzags and loops and circles and figures of eight. After a few minutes of this display, he came down in a power dive, slowing up spectacularly to a perfect landing. "There, O beauteous damsel and esteemed sirs," he began with a low bow and a sweeping flourish, and then there was a sharp snap, and he was jerked sideways off his feet. In the flourish, his thumb had moved the slider a fraction of an inch, and the power tube had torn itself out of his grasp. It was now out at the full length of the cable, dragging him helplessly after it, straight toward a high stone wall. But Seaton was helpless only for a second. Throwing his body sideways and reaching out along the taut cable, he succeeded in swinging the thing around so that he was galloping back toward the party and the field. Dorothy and her father were standing motionless, staring. Crane was running toward the shop.
"Don't touch that switch!" Seaton yelled. "I'll handle the bloody thing myself!"
At this evidence that Seaton thought himself master of the situation, Crane began to laugh, but held one finger lightly on the Wetzitron switch, and Dorothy, relieved of her fear, burst into a fit of the giggles. The bar was straight out in front of him, going somewhat faster than a man could normally run, swinging now right and now left as his weight was thrown from one side to the other. Seaton, dragged along like a boy holding a runaway calf by the tail, was covering the ground of prodigious leaps, at the same time pulling himself up hand over hand toward the tube. He reached it, grabbed it in both hands, again darted into the air, and came down lightly near the others, who were rocking with laughter.
"I said it would be undignified," said Seaton, somewhat short of breath, but laughing too. "But I didn't think it would end up like this."
Dorothy seized his hand.
"Are you hurt anywhere, Dick?"
Not a bit."
"I was scared green until you told Martin to lay off. But it was funny then. How about doing it again and I'll shoot it in full color?"
"Dorothy," her father chided, "next time it might not be funny at all."
"There'll be no next time for this rig," Seaton declared. "From here, we ought to be able to go full-scale ship."
Dorothy and Seaton set out toward the house, and Vanaman turned to Crane.
"What are you going to do with it commercially? Dick, of course, hasn't thought of anything except his spaceship."
"Equally, of course, you have."
Crane frowned. "Yes, I've had a crew of designers working for weeks in units of 500,000 to 1,000,000 kilowatts. We could sell power for a small fraction of a mil. However, the deeper we go into it, the more likely it appears that it will make all big central power plants obsolete."
"How could that be?"
"Individual units on individual spots. But it will be some time yet before we have enough data for the machines to work on."
The evening passed rapidly. As the guests were getting ready to leave, Dorothy asked,
"What are you going to call it?"
"You both have called it 40 different things this evening, and none of them were right."
"Why, spaceship, of course," Seaton said.
"Oh, I didn't mean the class. I meant this particular one. There's only one possible name for her. The Skylark."
"Exactly right, Dorothy," Crane said.
"Perfect," Seaton applauded. "And you'll christen it, Dottie, with a 50-liter flask full of hard vacuum. I christen thee the Skylark." Bang!
As an afterthought, Vanaman pulled a newspaper out of his pocket. Oh, yes, I bought a clarion on her way out here. It tells about an extraordinary explosion. At least, the story is extraordinary. It may not be true, but it may make interesting reading for you two scientific sharps. Good night. Seaton walked Dorothy to the car. When he came back, Crane handed him the paper without a word. Seaton read, "It's X all right. Not even a clarion reporter could dream that up. Some poor devil tried it without my rabbit's foot in his pocket. But think, Dick, something is very seriously wrong. Two people did not discover X at the same time. Someone stole your idea. But the idea is worthless without the metal. Where did he get it?"
"That's right. The stuff is extremely rare. In fact, it isn't supposed even to exist. I'd bet in my case book that we had every microgram of it known to science."
"Well then," said the practical Crane, "we'd better find out if we have all we started with." The storage bottle was still almost full, its seal unbroken. The vial was apparently exactly as Seaton had left it.
"It seems to be all here," Crane said.
"It can't be," Seaton declared. "It's too rare. Coincidence can't go that far. I can tell by taking the densities."
He did so, finding that the solution in the vial was only half as strong as that in the reserve bottle.
"That's it, Mart. Somebody stole half of this vial, but he's gone where the..."
"Say, do you suppose..."
"I do indeed just that."
"And the difficulty will lie in finding out which one, among the dozens of outfits who would want the stuff, is the one that actually got it."
"Check. The idea was, must have been taken from your demonstration, or rather one man knew from the wreckage of your laboratory that your demonstration would not have failed had all the factors then operative been present. Who was there?"
"Oh, a lot of people came around at one time or another, but your specifications narrow the field to 5 men, Scott, Smith, Penfield, Duquesne, and Roberts."
"Well, let's see. If Scott's brain was solid cyclonite, the detonation wouldn't crack his skull. Smith is pure theoretician. Penfield wouldn't dare quote an authority without asking permission. Duquesne is..." Duquesne, then, is suspect number one."
"Well, wait a minute, I didn't say..."
"Exactly. That makes him suspect number one. How about the fifth man, Roberts?"
"Not the type, definitely. He's a career man. If he got blasted out of the civil service, all the clocks in the city would stop."
Crane picked up his telephone and dialed.
"This is Crane. Please give me a complete report on Dr. Mark C. Duquesne of the Rare Metals Laboratory as soon as possible. Yes, full coverage, no limit. Please send 2 or 3 guards out here right now, men you can trust. Thanks."
Please join me next time for another exciting chapter in The Skylark of Space by E.E. Smith, here on Astounding Stories of Space and Time. Until then, watch the skies.